gentlemen.
Get ready for
the Rich Eisen Show.
Touchdown, Bengals!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Mike White hit as he throws, and it's intercepted by Cam Bynum. That is your ball game.
The Rich Eisen Show.
We got to find ways to score touchdowns.
Earlier on the show, two-time Super Bowl champion and host of the Greenlight Podcast, Chris Long, 49ers linebacker Fred Warner. Coming up, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air here on the Roku channel, free on all Roku devices, Samsung Smart TV, Amazon Fire TV, all the Roku app that you can get out there, get your hands on all the mobile devices. You can get the app, and the Roku channel is free on it, therokuchannel.com. We say hello to everybody who's taking in this show that way or listening to us on the terrestrial radio network, Sirius XM, Odyssey, our podcast. We adore our podcast listeners. You can listen to us whenever you want. I'm loving seeing all these tweets from, Spotify podcast listeners that saying that we were your number one pod for the year. We're honored by that. We say thank you. If you missed any of the first 2 hours, Chris Long in hour number one, Fred Warner of the San Francisco 49ers talking about Brock Purdy now having the entirety of Niners Nation and their hopes for the Super Bowl placed on his shoulders and in his hands after beating the Miami Dolphins. Fred was on this program. You missed it. We re-air on channel 210 on the Roku channel as soon as this hour's over, or there's our at Rich Eisen Show Twitter feed. And then, of course, our YouTube stream, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. The order of business is now done, and now I can turn to my in-studio guest in hour number three, kind enough to return right away after a fascinating weekend of college football. And the college football playoff committee has spoken. All Final Four has been set. Bruce Feldman of The Athletic and Fox Sports right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you.
What'd you think of the college football playoff committee's work? Did you like it? You think they got it right?
I do. I don't think they screwed it up. I mean, look, TCU lost in the Big 12 title game. But they lost in overtime. They had actually beaten Kansas State earlier in the year. And I think the fact that Kansas State's a top 10 team, you know, it's a weird way they kind of helped their own cause even in a loss, because now K-State is in the top 10. And that's still a better win than anything that Alabama has, who's 5. I mean, Alabama beat Texas. That's their best win. Well, so did TCU. They both beat them in Austin, except they beat Kansas State, and they don't have 2 losses, right? As far as Ohio State getting in there, I think Ohio State's fine to be in number 4. Obviously, there was a blowout loss to their arch rival late in the year, but they do have a win over Penn State, and that was at Happy Valley. We were at that game. So I think the committee got it right. I don't think Alabama deserved to be in.
Yeah, and Nick Saban had an interesting halftime appearance on Fox on your station during the Big Ten championship game. I guess it fell on deaf ears that they are better. Take a look at how many kids we have and how we would be
favored, Rich, and all that. Yeah, the favorite thing, then why play the games, right? I mean, you can say we lost, on the last play of the game at LSU. You lost against Tennessee the last play of the game. You also won on the last play of the game against a horrible Texas A&M team. You know, that could go the other way, you know, if you want to use it. So they were very fortunate to beat Texas. They don't have any good SEC wins to show for it. You know, the fact that you would be making the case if you're Nick Saban, greatest coach ever, this was not a great team he had, you know, and it's just that's the reality.
What about the fact that they kept Ohio State at 4 and avoided the rematch with Michigan right off the bat? Personally, I think Ohio State should have to earn that by beating Georgia, and if Michigan is good enough and fortunate enough to get past TCU, then so be it. But to just go ahead and match them up, I thought that wasn't right, to just give them the right to just go ahead and want back into the playoffs and get their rival right away. Boo Corrigan, who is the committee chair, said they didn't even consider that. Do you think they didn't even consider that at all?
I'm sure somebody probably kicked it around in their head. You know, there's a lot of voices in the room. I think what helped them was that K-State did not blow out TCU. That was a game they lost in overtime. And I think if it was different, if K-State won like 48-14, they didn't. I mean, TCU has won more games than Ohio State. They lost a game basically in overtime, whereas Ohio State got blown out at home at the end of the year. If you're Ohio State, just be glad you're in, right? You have a puncher's chance. You're going to have to go through the best, you know, the defending champs, see what happens. But, like, I don't think they would have jumped off it because they would have said, oh, we just don't want a rematch. I just don't think that if you look at it, TCU was more deserving to be in that spot at number three than Ohio State
but
is.
The fact that he said it wasn't even brought up in the room, that nobody brought up in the room, hey, do we want to get Michigan, Ohio State in a college football playoff semifinal? I mean, you want to talk about what people would watch on a New Year's Eve. That certainly would be it.
They're going to watch either way, I really think. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a moot point. You know, I understand why people are thinking that. Like, I think if it was, again, I think if Kansas State got blown out, and as opposed to losing in overtime, the resumes are relatively close. Right. One team, though, you know, is they beat the team that beat them. The other team, and I don't have to tell you this, you know, got blown out in the end of the game, at the end of their season, right? The last time we saw them, Ohio State was getting pummeled in the corner, you know, so I just think maybe they'll say that they never thought about it. They didn't have to. I mean, it was just it's an obvious 3-4, you know, the way it fell.
Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. Caleb Williams was terrific until his hamstring gave way. And then Max Duggan, I mean, his final drive to tie the game was remarkable. Did he win the Heisman on that drive, do you think?
I don't think so. I think he probably, if people held their votes till this weekend, yes, which hopefully they did, I think he's a strong second. But I don't think he overtook Caleb. I think people know that Caleb Williams, he wasn't the same player at that point, at the end of the game. But it wasn't like he threw five picks either. He threw in one interception. I think he was valiantly played. I think he had a very big lead going into the final weekend, and I just don't know how many people looked at Max Duggan and thought, okay. I think for a lot of people, Max Duggan was actually not on their top three going into this weekend.
Is that right?
That's why he would be on mine, but I've seen him in person, you know, play a couple times this year, and I've seen him put that team on his back. But I think for a bunch of people, they had C.J. Stroud still in there. I think you have some, you know, some other guys. Hendon Hooker really put Tennessee on his back till he got hurt late in the year. And these are all guys who are deserving to be in New York.
Blake Corum,
similar to CJ, to Hendon Hooker, where at the end of the year he got hurt, but I think he will get certainly some votes. But ultimately, I think it's going to be Caleb Williams and then Max Duggan, and you know, who knows? You'll probably see some votes for some other guys who are, you know, I don't want to say they're vanity votes, but you'll see certain guys who, you know, probably somebody's going to put third. And I think, you know, maybe there'll be a handful of ballots where Max Duggan won't get any first, but he'll get a lot of second and thirds, where Caleb, I think, is going to get a ton of firsts.
So who gets the invitation to New York to sit there for 60 minutes in an way too quiet room until they make the announcement?
You know, to do some heavy lifting for ESPN, I think you're definitely going to get Max Duggan there because he's on one of the playoff teams. I think you'll have Caleb there because I think he's going to win it.
Yes.
And then after that, I think you look at teams. I don't think you'll have Stetson Bennett will have enough votes to get there, but he's obviously on the Georgia team.
Yes.
And then we're talking about, you know, I don't know if Blake Corum gets invited if he gets enough votes. It's not like a case where he's playing in the game where you know they can promote it and kind of back end it, but we'll see. I mean, the number always fluctuates depending on the voting, and we'll see who's like 3-4 if it's close enough.
Bruce Feldman here from The Athletic and Fox Sports. With so much going on in the college football world, how about my guy Prime? Walk me through how Colorado wound up on his radar screen and why they were the ones who, you know how I feel about it, smart enough to take what others consider a risk. What do you got for me on that front?
Yeah. Please? So when they fired Carl Durrell on October 2nd, some people behind the scenes at Colorado really worked to say, hey, Dion is the guy that we need. We desperately need. This program is right now irrelevant. It's got a lot of issues. Dion has the presence. Dion has the charisma. Dion has the vision. Dion has the plan that and it's happening right now in the transfer portal era. And that means he can flip it pretty fast. The roster is atrocious. He can fix it. Kids are going to want to play for him. Kids who are at Jackson State are going to want to follow him. And to the credit of Rick George, the AD, he worked off of their lead and really got the ball rolling. And I think it helped them that a few other schools, we talked about this the other day, you know, I think Auburn for a variety of reasons, was afraid of hiring Deion.
That's ridiculous. I mean, they will rue that decision. I fully believe it in my bones. They will rue that decision. I was saying, like, could you imagine if he strolled into a living room in the state of Alabama? Who better to say, don't go to Nick Saban. Come here. And if, let's just say that you need to tip the scales, Deion has Bo Jackson on, like,
Deion doesn't even need Bo Jackson. Deion doesn't need Cam. Deion doesn't need Barkley. Deion doesn't need anybody's help.
But he could get it.
He could get it, but I mean, I don't, like, I'm with you. Like, I think if he was, I mean, if you're Georgia Tech and, you know, like, he was a star with the Braves, he was a star with the Falcons. I mean, he's doing the work for you.
He built the Georgia Dome. That was his house. He would say it's my house.
And yet, you know, you hear that they did not have the commitment to jump into this. I mean, like, he would give them a fighting chance to compete with Kirby Smart. That rivalry is so far, you know, from where it used to be, because Georgia Tech has fallen so far behind, and Georgia has really just, now they won a national title and Kirby Smart's got it going. But who wants to follow Deion Sanders in home visit if you're the coach? You know,
look, nobody.
Kirby Smart's got a national title ring, but, like, who's the second most charismatic coach in college football right now? I don't know who it is. I know who's number one, though. And the thing is, how does that resonate with 17, 18, 19, and 21, 22-year-olds who, by the way, now are looking at going, well, I saw what USC just did. They can flip it fast. And so I did a story over the weekend with Bill McCartney's son, Mike.
You know, I saw that, yeah.
And Mike's dad was the only man who led CU to a national title, and he was over the moon about the idea that Deion was coming there. And one of the things he said that I thought really resonated was, there will be kids who will be like, ah, I don't have, you know, Colorado in my top three or four, but you know what? I'm really curious to go meet Deion. Let me see what he's about. And they'll go there, and then they will flip, and they will commit to CU. I don't doubt it at all. I mean, his press conference yesterday, like, I sat there and watched it, and I went downstairs, and my wife works in PR, and I told her, I was like, and we know it, but until you watch it, you know, it's like, you're just kind of awed by what is going on. And then there's video of everything, and I don't doubt, like, he will be able to say things, and he has, and he did last night when he addressed his team in the first meeting, that if somebody else said it, I think it would be like, ooh, you can't really say, hey, go in the portal. You're not, I watched the film of you. You're not good enough. That effort's not going to cut it. Go in the portal. And I think with him, it's like, this is the hard truth. Maybe there are some guys who are sitting there, you know, how do you feel where Deion Sanders is saying that team meeting about there will be no hats on? You're sitting there with the Reds hat on or whatever, you know, like the Blue Jays hat on in the room. You know, it's just like, it was a remarkable scene. And I think this program, it's beyond nationally relevant now. It's like must-see TV, everything. Like,
oh yeah,
I'm blown away by where this thing is. And to circle back, you know, if you're one of these schools that were just like, yeah, we're not going to take the risk, like, your guy better work out great. Because, you know, I think, you know, he's playing with the house's money, because they were so bad before. No matter what happens, we know there's going to be a lot better talent come in. What's the worst they're going to do? You know, 6-6 next year?
I'm with you. As you know, I was on this from the very beginning. And in terms of anybody out there who's sitting there thinking, well, how relevant is he with a 17, 18, 19-year-old or 16-year-old or anybody?
You're a fool if you're asking that question. I'm not saying you are, but like,
I saw it at the combine year in and year out. Kids half of Deion's age. Definitely not alive when Deion was on the back end of his playing career. Okay. They all knew exactly who he was. And the minute he walked on the field as part of NFL Network's roving reporter on the field during the defensive back drills, they flocked to him. And then when he was just roaming the field with the microphone and some kid ran the 40 and he thought that he didn't run it, he was weaving in and out, or his workout, his this step didn't work, that step didn't work. He would call the kid over. Hey, come here. And we'd have to cut his mic off, because sometimes we'd hear the conversation. We'd have to cut his mic off, and he would coach him up. He would coach the kid up, and the kid was just immediately locked into every syllable that was coming out of Deion's mouth. This was him when he was just a youth football coach. And then, too, Chris, you've watched him watch football games with us, okay?
Yeah.
And when an NFL player – would do something so stupid and dumb.
Cut him.
Cut him. He said, if I was a coach, I would cut him before he came back to the sideline.
Yeah.
So him saying to everybody, there's the transfer portal, it's not an act. Like, this is prime. This is Deion. Yeah. And in the day and age of NIL and portals,
that's what I was going to say.
Perfect timing. Well,
it is perfect. Like, you know, I tweeted on my story, this is the perfect hire at the perfect time. And because of what you just said, the NIL era, where it used to be, you know, 5 years ago, back certainly when, you know, there was an 85-person scholarship limit and everything, you'd hear about guys were running people off. Couldn't do that, everything. I think in this NIL era where there's the portal is rolling, and it's like once you go in the portal, they can basically pull away from you and not, and it's kind of all bets are off. I definitely think this is hard reality that's coming here, right? And, you know, if I was a Colorado fan, I would sit there and go, my God, look what's going on here. Like, we're actually going to compete with real college football teams, you know, and it's been forever. They've had one season really in the last 17 years where they had a winning record. I mean, they were so bad. You and I remember, and you guys remember when they were, you know, it was Eric Bieniemy and Kenavis McGee and
Cordell. Yes, they had the cutting edge quarterback.
They had a Heisman Trophy winner.
Rashawn Salaam.
They have had, I don't want to say nothing, but they have had so little. And just now, all of a sudden, the fact that all these kids, like a five-star offensive lineman who's committed to Iowa. Iowa has a great track record of developing offensive linemen. Deion offered me now all of a sudden. I'm not saying he's going to flip.
Right.
But I wouldn't be surprised. Nothing is going to surprise me now. And I think what you will see on signing day is, like, there will be so many surprises of kids who want to go there. You know, and again, if it's resonating with us at our age, can you imagine what it's doing to 16, 17, 18-year-olds who are like, I want to go play for that guy.
I got to make a note of it. I got to call Fowler, our friend. I'm just asking. I mean, he's a buff. I can't wait to speak to him about that. It'll be great. I got Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before I let you go, you called it multiple times on your Twitter feed today, an avalanche, the transfer portal. What is happening today and why?
Today's the day it starts, this period for the next month and a half, where you're going to see lots of good players, lots of players who were big recruits who maybe haven't panned out, all sorts of it, activity going in. I mean, we've already seen a bunch of quarterbacks, you know, DJ Uiagalelei, who had the Dr. Pepper commercial last year, former five-star quarterback at Clemson. You know, he's from here in L.A., huge arm, you know, has had a really up-and-down go at Clemson. Devin Leary at NC State, who was a starting quarterback, put up big numbers, but is hurt now. Keaton Slovis, who started at Pitt, started at USC. You're going to see so many guys that are in, that are flooding in today, tomorrow, and beyond. And one of the things that was interesting, especially in the, you know, as it relates to like Slovis, people are like, okay, you know, because I had talked to him and he said, yes, I'm going in. But they're like, coaches are waiting. When is he actually in? Because I want to talk to him. And, you know, you'll see this. How does this, you know, jive with the rest of high school recruiting? Because you have to, you know, budget your roster. But it is a different level of recruiting that's going on now. And I think you'll see a lot of guys who've had good I know you're going to see a lot of guys who've had really good seasons who are going to say, all right, this was my situation here. What can you guys do for me? Basically telling, you know, all the rest of college coaches, what can you do for me? What can your NIL people do? Why should I go there? Like, it is really open season.
It's
and free agency.
That's it. So is this the way it's going to be from now on? Is that the college football playoff makes its announcement after, I'm assuming there won't be any conference championship games still around 10 years from now when we have a Super League formed. But as for the moment, college football playoff committee makes its announcement, playoffs are set, Heisman Trophy's coming up, and free agency begins? Is that basically the way that we're going to
We'll see how it goes, because I think they always tweak it and see, okay, there's some issues that came up with this. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, the fact that the portal is one thing and the NIL situation is so murky right now, I think that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. But when I say it makes them a lot uncomfortable, I also think, you know, it's almost like Christmas for all these coaches.
Yes.
Because in one sense, roster management, I think they've already come to the realization roster management is not the same as what it was 2 years ago. And these guys are all control freaks. And they've kind of realized, all right, that ship has sailed. Now, how do we operate in this new reality? There'll be some logistical stuff that I'm sure will get changed. I'm sure it'll get tweaked and ironed out, and some new problems will surface because you have a lot of third-party people who've jumped into the margins. But, I mean, you know, it's like, it's weird. It's those days that you have them in the NFL, and certainly the NBA has it, where it's like, oh, it's a trade deadline or it's something like this. And there really wasn't the same kind of equivalent other than National Signing Day. But now it's weird. It's almost like Christmas and tax day all together in the same time for college coaches.
Last one for you, Bruce Feldman of The Athletic and Fox Sports. My colleagues at the NFL Network, NFL Media Group, Pelissero and Ian Rappaport, I got to talk to them.
Those guys hate you, man.
They're kicking up dirt around Jim Harbaugh. The hell? He said that he was done. This wouldn't be a reoccurring thing, is what he said after he and the Vikings did not strike anything other than just a note and a chord, and a very difficult chord for Michigan fans to swallow. It happened on signing day last year. And all he's done whenever when we – and it was my message to Michigan faithful at the end of the first hour. It's like we were all wondering, did he blow the best opportunity to follow up on the best season Michigan's ever had? Well, the answer is yes. He's followed up with an even better one. So this was Jim Harbaugh talking about the rumors that the Colts are hot and heavy for him. This is him on a teleconference for the Verbo. Who knew, by the way? It's not VRBO. Verbo Fiesta Bowl on Sunday night.
Well, it's a lot of that time of the year type of speculation. But I think no man knows the future. But I think the people that are think we've done a good job and are pleased with the job that we've done here in Michigan, they're going to be, very happy to learn that we'll be back enthusiastically coaching the Wolverines in 2023. And for those people that don't approve of the job we've done or would rather see somebody else coaching here, I think they'll be most likely disappointed to learn that we're back coaching the Wolverines in 2023.
Take that, Tom. I don't know. Look, I thought he was going to leave last year. But you know what? It's one of those deals where I feel like Michigan football right now is in a much better trajectory than it was 12 months ago. You know, and the signing day thing, like, look, and nobody knows for sure what's in Jim Harbaugh's heart, whether he's feeling like, all right, I didn't win a Super Bowl. I actually came close. That's the only thing left. But I think on the other side of it right now, whether he can beat, beat TCU, then beat Georgia or Ohio State, I feel like they are close. I'm not saying they're close to dominating college football or anything like that, but they are closer to winning a national title and having really sustainability now than they were a year ago. And I think, like, if you leave now, maybe if he wins a national title, then maybe it is mission accomplished. I don't know that. I don't think anybody knows that. The part I'm curious about is the people who looked at him. Look, the Raiders job was open. We know he has a lot of affinity for that organization last year. He had some connections to the Vikings. That didn't work out. Mm-hmm. Like, all of a sudden now, it's like, who are these people who are going to – like, we know who Jim Harbaugh is. It's not like he's, the 42-year-old coach who's kind of – like, they know. Is it just going to take one other situation? It's like, okay, now we saw that he whipped – Ohio State again. We saw all of a sudden now it's like, okay, we're going to all jump on board for Jim Harbaugh. You know what he is.
Well, the Colts know what he is. His name's in the Ring of Honor. And they just had a 50-piece put him on him on Sunday Night Football. And one of the most, in a performance that Chris Collinsworth called embarrassing, a national embarrassment. So that's why they're really hot and heavy for him. And then, the national championship game, if Michigan's fortunate enough to make it, is the so-called Black Monday in the NFL. It's because the NFL is now longer and they're playing the national championship game a little sooner. It kind of all times up, which is why people are wondering.
It does, but also this is the same guy who said last year,
I'm
not doing this anymore. And now all of a sudden it's like, it'd be different if he had the similar year to last year. It was 11-1. Maybe they don't win maybe they lose to Ohio State. They got closer, but they don't win the big. It's still a good year,
yeah.
But it's not what he had last year. Instead, I feel like they've taken another step towards it. So I'd be surprised if he would back away. I thought last year he was going to leave, but he didn't really have the opportunity to get it. So maybe now somebody gives him everything he wants and he's like, oh yeah, I've done. Because I think if you're a Michigan fan, obviously I know you are.
Yeah.
Like if he were to leave after this year, you'd be disappointed.
Oh yeah.
But, you know, he has done what I think you could have hoped for him to do. He not only beat Ohio State, he kicked their butts in Columbus. He got you to the playoff twice. If he wins the national title, obviously that'd be great for Michigan. But the question is, ultimately, what does he want most? Does he really think like a Super Bowl, or does he think, I'm at my alma mater, I can be the king of the Big Ten. I can be the king of the Big Ten now, right? This is not a one-time deal. I mean, I would think he would be staying now to say, all right, after what I said last year, they didn't want me. This is where I want to be. They want me. I want to, you know, be here with my family for the long haul.
Bruce Feldman, thanks for coming in. We'll have you back on shortly, if you don't mind. Look for my call. Really quick from the last time. Bruce Feldman, follow him on Twitter. Must follow. Check out all his works on The Athletic as well as Fox Sports. Back here on The Rich Eisen Show. My two cents on the Mike White experience and so much more from Week 13 coming up.
The World Tournament of Soccer happening in Qatar is finally here. And with all the weird kickoff times and all the other sports happening simultaneously, it can be kind of hard to keep up. So to make sure you're up to speed, be sure to listen to Qatar Kick Around for the daily wrap-up of all the action from the tournament. From the group stage all the way to the final, Andy, Lars, and Peter are here for you with recaps and opinions of what happened that day in Qatar. Everything can be found at thekickaround.com, the Cumulus podcast channel on YouTube, or wherever you listen.
As Bruce Feldman just left the building, Pete Thamel of ESPN reporting that Jackson Smith and Jigba, who had a terrific Rose Bowl last year, record-setting Rose Bowl last year, and has been injured all year long, did not play against Michigan a couple of weeks ago. He's declaring for the NFL draft and will not compete in the college football playoffs. Quote, I was unable to come back on multiple occasions during the season, and the doctors determined I would be unable to participate in the playoffs.
He's still a top 10 pick. Doesn't matter.
So there you go. I know a lot of Buckeye fans were hoping that he would be back and give them a full complement of players to go against Georgia, which I think they will need.
I think you're right.
What was Brian? What was Kirby Smart doing going for two to put up 50? Is he was just going for a nice, neat number, or what was that all about?
I think maybe.
What was the interpretation in your household? What was the interpretation?
Welcome Brian Kelly to the SEC.
Is that as simple as that?
Feels like just running up the score. That game was
not close.
Bloodbath.
I mean, it was close early on. I mean,
we it was 0-0. Just about
nice. Nice.
When it started.
Yeah. I was getting a lot of nervous texts from Michigan faithful that I know.
Even your game was close for a second.
It was. Boy, they have got some walk-ons on that Purdue team that have a ton of heart, and it was great to watch them. And it got me a little nervous, just a slight wee bit, but, you know, Michigan's just on a nice little heater right now. Mm-hmm. Ones that I'm just loving life. I'm loving it right now.
I'm ready for the rematch. Let's do it.
What's the rematch?
Georgia, Michigan at SoFi. Let's go.
We might get it.
It's going to be awesome.
We might get it.
You know what?
Yeah. I don't know what.
I'm just going to stick with you the rest of the season.
Thank you very much.
I think I am. I'm going to stick with the Wolverines.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. There's enough room on board. You, sir, are being left at the curb. I don't want to hear it from you. Del Tufo, you're on the curb.
Rich,
you're out.
Rich.
You're out.
Just
actually, it'll be like the movie Airplane. I'm just going to leave you in the back of the cab and go try and save
game
a plane
against your school. Seton Hall beat Michigan last year. I'm good. I just want to bust your chops as much as I can about it.
The dumbest conversation.
We did. It's regular season. Counts, like you say.
It does.
It does.
I know. It really stings. That loss. That loss stings. 23 years later?
I don't care about that.
It stings.
That's the last time I played.
33 years later? 33.
I know. Rich,
I'm terrible at math.
You want to hear
so
something?
What are you looking at me like? How do you not know? I know it's terrible. I can't do it. I'm much better talking.
I can't 80s.
We're talking about the 80s. 80s are 30 years away.
I also don't want to be as old as I am.
You guys want to hear something that's going to like make you sad?
Oh,
jeez.
In, in 8 years,
yes,
the 80s will have been 50 years
okay.
ago.
Oh. Oh, my gosh.
That's just something I to How about blow
that?
Your mind a
How about
bit.
That?
Oh.
That makes no sense, right?
I know.
It makes it's, zero
we're
sense.
We're getting older.
The 1980 specifically, not, you know.
I want to say something. I'm going to take a page from Deion Sanders, my friend.
You're going to put one of us in the portal? Yeah,
I am not putting any of you in the portal.
Okay. Good.
I'm going to just talk plainly.
Okay.
I'm going to talk plainly. And I will say this right now. And I know it's just two games. I do not care if Zach Wilson doesn't start another game for the New York
Ooh,
Jets.
Whoa.
I don't care.
Whoa. Rich.
I don't care.
Woof.
Whoa.
I know that's plain talk. I don't care. I like the way that this kid is playing football, and I'd like to stick with him. And I know their next assignment is really tough. And Mike White could turn back into a pumpkin, if you will, against the Buffalo Bills, who Zach Wilson, as we all know, is the quarterback when the Jets beat them. But I don't care. If Mike White has one of those stinkers of a game, I would want Robert Saleh to keep with him. I see the players wearing T-shirts, Mike effing White, coming off the plane, going to Minnesota. That is, I mean, we were talking about that with Kurt, mm-hmm. you know. I'm like, were there any Kurt effing Warner T-shirts, you know, back in 1999? Where are your T-shirts? But in all seriousness, the players have bought in. Players dig him. And, you know, what he's doing, he's putting up 300-yard games. It proves that there are some players on this offense.
Heck yeah.
It proves that there are some players. Garrett Wilson is really, really good, and he damn near had 200 yards receiving yesterday because Mike White was looking for him and finding him. Elijah Moore, there's proof of life there. Just needs to toe tap, toe drag. He didn't have the toe drag swag. He only put 1 foot down, leading to an outstanding Iron Eagle call where, you know, Charles Davis was saying, you got to drop that second foot. It was a grab in college. You only had 1 foot down. I don't know if you guys saw this moment.
I missed that one.
Yeah. So Charles Davis, like, where's that toe drag swag? Where is it? Like Nate Burleson would say, and Iron Eagle said it was toe drag lag. I love that guy.
He'll get it down the next time it happens. You know that.
Bam Knight, you know, you were talking about him in fantasy. Okay.
Yeah.
And he had a terrific game. I mean, Joe Douglas is drafting some really talented young players. And Mike White is finding them. He is finding them. And, you know, you want to make Zach Wilson the backup? If you feel that you've determined that his reset is long enough and that he's done enough work and he can figure it out and he's seen Mike White do it, you want to make him the backup in case White gets hurt and he's in there? I'm fine with that. But I know... You know, I know there's going to be a lot of Jet fans that just feel this is a mirage because everything good that happens is a mirage. And I understand that there are some Jet fans out there are going to be thinking, you know what? We still have to give the number two overall pick a shot because we can't just have that go right down the tubes. And my answer to that would be why? Because normally you don't want the number two overall pick to go down the tubes because that confirms the general manager and the coach are not it. The general manager and the coach are it. And if they can survive and the ownership can look at them and say, all right, you missed on that, but let's figure out what else we have. And Mike White is the what else you have. Why can't he be the guy moving forward? Why can't he be? Why not? And I think you owe it to him now for the rest of the year to give him that shot. And give the players who wear Mike F and White T-shirts the guy that behind center. And if it doesn't work out against Buffalo, because that's a tough place to win, as we all know. Yeah. Then give him another shot because in after that is Detroit and then a Thursday night against Jacksonville. So-called winnable games, the Lions are, I think you have to start looking at them as a team that's not just it's no homecoming. So you got to put points up on the board and you can't just say, okay, Detroit's coming in and we'll give our quarterback that reset start. You got to go with the guy that's showing you. I'll put up 300-yard games. I'll hit my back foot and I'll make my read and I'll go. And the throws that are high, the throws that are this, the throws that are that are just maybe because he hasn't done it enough, not because he's just winging it because he's not paying attention to his footwork and things of that nature. I'm just shooting you straight. I got nothing against this kid at all. Zero. I'm just shooting it just in the same way that Dion looks at everybody in that room and he's like, there's the transfer portal. I'm here with my Louis Vuitton luggage. Okay, I'm just saying this straight up, straight up. Two starts, I've seen enough. I want to see more and give him the rest of the year. I don't know if he's going to make that announcement. You know, I don't. He doesn't have to make this announcement. He can continue to play it the way that he is playing it. Certainly, and I'm not going to criticize it because the way that he's playing it has been terrific. You cannot argue with the way that he's played it. Jets are sitting here entering week 14 in the seventh spot, and nobody saw that one coming. So I think Mike White, even if he comes up with a clunker in Buffalo, deserves the shot to keep going. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll wrap up this show talking a little bit more about tonight and set up the rest of the week. That's how we're rolling here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, I'll be honest, missed the first half hour of U.S.
Really?
Netherlands. Yeah, man, I slept. Rich. I slept. Slept in. Wow. Slept in, woke up, so we're down to 1-0.
Yep.
I tune in, see 2-0.
Yep.
So I'll take the hit on that one.
You should have went back to bed.
No.
Did you go back to
I did.
Stayed up?
No, okay. I stayed up. All Coop right. Coop then got in bed, Susan and I and Coop, with the other two kids were asleep. We watched 2-1.
2-1 was exciting.
Watch 2-1.
2-1 was exciting.
2-1's exciting.
Yeah.
Thought it was coming. But then the third orange whip hit. 1, 2, 3 orange whips all around.
Guys just standing around. Like, it was so easy.
It was so easy. Yeah, the third one.
See, I can't sit here and talk about, well, Rainier should have been. They should have put him in sooner. I mean, I can't come in
late.
No, but
the defense let Matt Turner down. Like, Matt Turner's just, like, yelling at these guys, like, mark your dudes. Like, come on.
How about that save that he pushed it over the crossbar over the top?
He's great. I'm a big fan.
He's amazing. You know,
it's super exciting. The youngest team in the tournament.
Yeah, I know.
Again, I'm a super casual, but listening to everyone else talk about it.
Yes.
Youngest team in the tournament. We got 2026 is coming up. If we can just get, like, we just need a killer. We need a striker to just, who can score. You know, you look at
somebody. Pulisic's not it.
He's not it. He's kind of a setup guy who can do it.
You think Derrick Henry could learn enough soccer to be ready?
I think he'd get yellow carded a lot.
Just
like John Morant. Does he want
John
to play
Morant,
soccer?
Yeah. Let's take any small forward or two guard or even point guard in
we
the NBA.
We just need a killer. We need that like 6'3 guy like Ronaldo and Harry Kane. You see these guys like Brazil has 4 goals in the first half right now.
My God.
Guys who can just put the ball in the net.
By over Korea, did you see Mina Kimes tweeted out, Brazil, I have a family.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's 4-0.
It just seems like that's
first half.
The one piece missing from Team USA, but super young team. They
oh my
play
God,
really
they're
going to
get a sixth. Almost got a sixth goal.
Love our coach.
I mean, oh my God.
Like the next 4 years is going to be really fun in the build up to the next World Cup that's here in the USA. It's going to be awesome.
That's
my analysis.
I just feel it's sad for us. Because
well, yes.
You just
we
did
got robbed of
being able to tell everyone about fun facts about Argentina.
Do you want me to do? Should we adopt the Netherlands and then move on to the next round?
I don't know. What you have to. You always have to root for the team that knocks you out.
Right, of course. And they're a super fun team. That dude who scored the first goal.
You just want to do a segment about fun facts about Argentina.
First off, the guy who scored the first goal for the Netherlands, his name is Memphis. He just goes by Memphis, which is awesome.
Okay.
Single names.
Sounds like a Nick Cage character.
Yeah. Sleeping through Memphis
was
me.
And he's super tatted up and is jacked. TJ, you see this dude? He looks like an NFL running back. Look up Memphis Depay. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I do remember the name.
I'm enjoying your love of football and your zeal for this.
I'm also betting on every game. That's
why he's into it.
That's
I mean, he doesn't care.
Hey, Brockman, tomorrow let's do our top 5 athletes that we like to see as soccer players from other sports.
Okay.
Ooh,
I'll like do it.
And
you handle it.
Let's go.
I have no time for that.
Okay, TJ, we'll both do top 5.
Okay. Okay, good. Very good. I like it.
I don't like that you took John Morant from me, though.
Too bad. Jaw's my first pick.
Man, I feel for the Colts. I was watching that last night. I know you don't. I know you don't, but.
No, I did it. It got a little ridiculous.
A 33-point fourth quarter on Sunday Night Football.
They literally just missed the two-point conversion. That was a tie game in the third quarter.
It was such a blowout. It was such a total, complete collapse.
How much of a blowout was it?
It was so much of a blowout.
My bad.
That Zeke was benched for some sort of violation, and nobody's talking about it. He didn't start. Remember that last night when Pollard's got all those first quarter reps, and I thought I was about to text you, say they finally got this right.
I was waiting for a text from you all night.
I was too busy playing dad as well at the same time. I was juggling a lot.
You got a lot of ish going on.
I almost texted you like they finally got this right, and Zeke was standing up there, but all was good by the end. They're chanting his name. He scored. Then he jumped in that Salvation Army kettle that's supposed to not be, you know, supposed to not jump
he's
in
to
and
not
then,
do that.
And they put a lid on it.
I was did
like
that once.
It was like Zeke in a box, right?
Exactly.
Where Dak.
It should have been Dak in
wound
a box.
It up. But Dak in a box. Well, they don't pay. Jerry's probably, they don't pay for that. That's like free advertising if you call it Dak in a box. Plus, it's a kettle.
We don't talk enough about CeeDee Lamb either. That dude is awesome.
Yeah, he is becoming
ever since Rich Eisen sent us a text message that didn't speak highly because CeeDee dropped the ball once. He saw that.
It was a September fantasy game I needed to have.
I'm just saying, ever since that
moment. That's not for sharing on radio and TV when I'm enraged by fantasy football.
No, I'm saying we love CeeDee here.
I know that. But I was enraged when he dropped that ball. But he made up for it later on,
and he did. And you were, and then you apologized on your text.
I needed him too last night, and that business where he didn't go down, he just kept running in.
I love this dude, man, and I feel like
he's catching with one hand now.
I feel like, you know, when everyone's saying Justin Jefferson, and probably rightly so, best wide receiver, and Tyreek Hill, it's like almost like CD kind of looked at that and was like, I got to step up.
Of course,
and he has. Don't
sleep on Garrett Wilson either.
Garrett Wilson had a strange day yesterday.
Oh, man. He was terrific. He's good. And he's got that heart, man. He's got the heart of a lion. I see what all you Buckeye fans were talking about. I feel bad for pissing him off by saying I was his daddy.
I remember, that was the only time I've ever heard Liz scream from the back in her office. Right? You said that.
It was pre-draft, right?
Can I ask you something? Isn't it weird, though, because I went through this with the triplets?
Say hi to your father for me.
Isn't it weird that when you I won't say hate, but let's just say it's fandom we hate,
yes.
Not real.
Yes.
But you hate a player because he goes to a school you hate. Then he gets on your team, and all of a sudden, you just love him.
Love him.
You hate him.
What do you think the Browns fans thought of Donovan Peoples-Jones coming up with a punt return to put the Browns up for good? Mm-hmm. In a game they were down 5-0, and Watson's dirting it. He was really rusty yesterday.
What a weird game. Yeah, really rusty.
But how do you think they like Donovan Peoples-Jones?
Love it.
How much do you think they loved Garrett Wilson when Garrett Wilson beat him and did the in their face?
That must have been hard to take.
It must have been. But not as hard to take as it will be when I make my triumphant return in August to Canton, Ohio.
Brockman, Mike, we gotta go.
We gotta be there.
Please, Roku Joe, help us.
We gotta be there.
I will
just say this because you know I don't traffic in this sort of stuff usually.
I want to be a whole bottle of wine deep tea.
I will say this.
Oh, a Bernie Kosar next to me. Let me try on this ring.
I will say this because it's still real and it's still alive, and I think you'll agree it's more real than it was last year. If we win the Natty.
Oh.
This guy.
I'm taking a week off.
I love it when I catch him mid-sip.
If that happens, you got to have a bright maize-colored suit.
Oh,
like
Rich.
I will need special security.
Tadao. We're calling up Tadao. We're calling up Gabe. I got
you,
Rich. I got you on the security.
Multiple games.
You need like the bulletproof glass that they put up in front of.
Oh, like the Pope.
Like the Pope. You need
the Pope.
God forbid. Stop it, guys. Stop it.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves now.
I know that.
But
there's still two games to go.
That's why I said I'm going for you because I want to see what you do.
Well, there's miles to go.
It's already going to happen.
There's miles to go. There's less miles to go. We got lots. So thank you too.
Thanks for almost making me choke the
Bruce Feldman.
I can't support a Michigan Natty, obviously.
I understand.
But I'm excited to see what you do with
that. Would be a nice maize and blue silver lining for you, would it not?
Brockman.
You'd have to come there. You'd have to come to Canton, Ohio just to witness it. But there's lots to go. I also want to thank Fred Warner. It was great to have him on the program. And also great to have our friend Chris Long. Tomorrow, Andrea Savage of Tulsa King will be here in studio.
Fantastic.
So much more. This week, Ryan Shazier will be in studio.
Oh, man.
Holly Robinson Pete will be in studio. Ooh. That's how we're rolling this week.